In our time of study from God's Word this morning, we want to look at the example of Christ praying. So Christ leaves a great example for us to follow in every way. But when we look at the subject of prayer and when we are seeking to desire how to pray and what to pray and what to pray for and when, there's no better example that we have in Scripture for that than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. From the beginning of his ministry to the end of his life on this earth, Jesus prayed to God without ceasing and taught his disciples to pray. We all know the Scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, even if the reference is not something that is memorized. We know the words there, the three words in that verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Well, Jesus prayed to God continually. And it's interesting when we look at the circumstances that are recorded in the Scriptures concerning Christ's prayers. The many different situations that when he is described as praying, he prayed alone. For example, in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 18, it says, it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And we know what followed from there, but the verse begins by telling us that he was alone praying. So he did pray to his Father alone. He also prayed to his Father with his disciples in this very same chapter. A little bit further down in verses 28 and 29, it says, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. And we could look at other passages too, but this is right in the same chapter that early in it, he tells us that Christ was praying alone. And then after that, he takes three of his disciples with him and was praying with those disciples. And he was transfigured at that time. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, this is an account where Jesus taught his disciples to pray, not the only one. He, as we well know, in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught the people to pray, but here he was teaching this to his disciples. But what was he doing when this circumstance arose where he taught his disciples how to pray? Well, Luke chapter 11 in verse 1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And it's interesting to see that this was also what John the Baptist had done, as we are told that John came to prepare the way for Christ and the works that he did. So with his teachings, the teachings that God gave for John to give to the people, that prepared the people for what Jesus came and taught. And then also, when we read what John taught his disciples to do, such as this, he taught his disciples to pray. Well, there's a direct connection with that to those disciples that then were sent to follow Christ, as they are asking him to teach them to pray. But the circumstance when they made this specific request of him was when Jesus was praying in a certain place. So they saw him praying and they wanted to understand more about how to pray. Well, that is a great desire and one that we also should have. But we learn much of how to do that from what we read in the Scriptures concerning Christ, not just directly what he taught his disciples to pray, but what he prayed for and all that we have about that. And there is a lot. We actually look at how much is in the Scriptures, especially it seems in the Gospel of Luke. There's a great deal of passages that mention about Jesus praying in the Gospel of Luke. So there's a very rich concentration of those passages in that one one book, but we're going to read about it in all of the Gospels, of course. But we'll have a lot of references in Luke in this lesson this morning, Lord willing. But Jesus was praying when his disciples asked that. He prayed in the wilderness in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. So when he was out there in the wilderness, that's what he did. Luke 5:16 says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. And it says in verse 16 that he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Well, that's what he did there in Luke 5:16. So he went to the wilderness to pray. In this case, that's where he had to go to be able to have the time to pray because of the great crowds that were around him. So how important was praying to his Father, to Christ? So much though, so that was he willing to try to get away from the people, and he came for that purpose, to seek and save that which was lost, to be the shepherd for those lost sheep. Would he be willing to at times have to try to physically remove himself to have the opportunity to be somewhere where he could then pray to his Father? And that's what we're reading about there. So he would even go out into the wilderness to do that. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 and 29 that we saw when he took Peter and James and John, he went up into the mountains. We know in Luke 22, 41 through 45, when he was the night that he was betrayed, where was he located when they came to get him? And it says a lot about Christ in his praying with that very circumstance. Judas, who betrayed him, knew where to bring them, where Jesus would be at that time, the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, why would Jesus go there? Well, when he was there that night, what was he doing? And that would certainly indicate this was a custom of his when he was in that area, that he would go to that location. That's where Judas knew to bring the people to take Jesus when he betrayed him. And he went there and he was praying and had his disciples to pray also at that time. So wherever he was, he would take the opportunity in whatever location he was in. And he had some places where he would go for exactly that purpose so that he could do that wherever he had to go. I mean, from the context of those, it's not like prayers would be better heard if they were in a mountain or in a garden or out in the wilderness. But that's where he would go so he could do that. So he would have the place where he could take that time to pray to his Father. Which is showing the importance of that and also showing how often and how much he was doing that. Well, that would help us then to understand also the principle that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. Luke 11, 5 through 10. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. That principle that Jesus is teaching there that we all know, these are conditions for us to then receive from the Father. He's not going to give to those who don't ask. We have to ask in order to receive. We have to seek in order to find. We have to knock in order for the door to be open. And the example of Jesus and where for him to go wherever he had to go to take the time where he would pray and continually do that. Jesus lived that. He didn't just teach that. How much of his time did he spend asking and seeking and knocking from his Father? to where he would go wherever he had to go to be able to do that. And he was doing that over and over and over again, doing that continually. And there's the principle of importunity there that he's teaching, and Jesus followed that. So he would continually ask, and he uses that example of somebody asking something from his friend. He's not, and he doesn't help because he's his friend. He finally helps to, in essence, make him go away so that he will quit asking. But the principle is that by continuing to ask, the man who had need received what he was asking for. Well, of course, we have the example from our Father in heaven who loves us very much and desires to give good things to his children and desired to give good things to his son. But his son would continually seek from his father to receive those things that were needful in every situation in his life. And we need to follow that example and do the same. And as we then transition to looking at more of that particular point, Jesus has given us example of seeking his father's help and his blessings before he did any work, when he had any difficulties before him, or when he had decisions to make. In all of those circumstances, he would always ask of his Father. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16 is a verse that where God teaches us to do that also. Philippians 4 verse 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Well, did Jesus, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make his requests unto his Father? He did. That's the pattern. That's the example that we see. He taught that and he lived that. Jesus prayed when he was baptized of John in the River Jordan and received the Holy Spirit and began his ministry in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 3, verse 21, Luke 3, verse 21. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." We read the same sequence in the account in the Gospel of Matthew, but here in the Gospel of Luke, as we see very often, we have that also mentioned about him praying. So when he was baptized of John, was that an important moment? Well, it was. All of Jesus' moments were important. All of the moments we live in this life are important from God's standpoint. He's given us that moment in time. He's provided that. And we need to be doing his will in all those moments. So they're all important. So do we only pray in certain times? Well, this was a very important moment when Jesus was baptized of John in the Jordan River. It was a commandment from the Father for all of the people to repent and to be immersed for the remission of their sins. That was a command that God gave there for through John, and that was preparing for the baptism of Christ, that teaching. And so Jesus obeyed that commandment also. But did Jesus have any sins to repent of? And when he went to be baptized of John, what did John actually say to him? He said, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me to be baptized." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Suffer me, allow me," he says, so that he could fulfill his Father's will, fulfill all righteousness. It was a commandment of God, so he obeyed it. Even though he didn't have any wrong to repent of, he still had to be immersed because that was what his Father commanded to be done. And he knew this would be the beginning of his ministry. He knew that he was going to be given the power to do miracles so that the Father now would be bearing witness to him by those miracles as he was now going to go forth and teach his Father's word and reveal the everlasting covenant, that he would be teaching it and living that. So this was the beginning point of that. What did Jesus do at that moment? Well, it says that being baptized and praying, that's when the heaven was then opened and he received from his Father. So did he ask in order to receive? Did he know that was his Father's will to do that? Yes, he knew that's what he was sent for, but he still asked. He still prayed. So he was praying then, as we read earlier, as the news of him was spreading abroad everywhere. In Luke 5:16 that we read earlier, we read in verse 15 how the crowds were coming then, and he withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. As that news of him was spreading, the crowds were becoming greater. Did he seek his Father's guidance to make sure that he was fulfilling his Father's will in all of his teachings and the miracles that he would be doing and all of those situations? And there was going to be, of course, more opposition growing at that time. So he didn't just pray at the beginning of his ministry. As it continued to grow, he was praying all the way through that for his Father's blessings on his work and guidance with his work from the beginning of it all the way through to his final moment on this earth. When he chose his disciples in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, what did he do? And this again is, for whatever reason, the Lord chose through Luke to reveal this particular point in chapter 6. Now, of course, in the other in other Gospels, we read about when Jesus chose his 12 apostles. But here we read about what he did prior to the choosing and naming of those apostles, which he gives here in verses 13 through 16. So we have the list of the names and the choice that he made of those 12 individuals. But before he chose them, what had he done? Verse 12. Luke 6 verse 12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, which he named apostles." Now, of all the moments, the decisions that were made, the choices that were made by Christ on this earth, was this a major one when he chose the 12 apostles? Which specific men was the Father going to use? To use the words that were that we read elsewhere in the New Testament, the ones who turned the world upside down. Well, can you just choose anybody? I mean, without regard to who they were. Well, they're a disciple, so that's good enough. Well, they might do some good things, but these were ones that the Lord needed to be able to use to turn the world upside down. And who he would choose to be able to do that, that was very important, those choices. They would be the ones to spread the gospel throughout the world. And then, of course, the one who would be the betrayer. That was also, that choice had to be made very precisely. So the selection of the apostles, each of those 12 was a very important decision. And before that was done, what did he do? He prayed. And he prayed all night. That teaches us something there by that example before he made that selection of his apostles. Before he would do miracles, he would pray. As we saw, he prayed before when he was baptized, before the Holy Spirit descended upon him, which is when he received his miraculous power. Before doing any of the specific miracles, he would ask the Father by that power that he gave him through the Holy Spirit to make that miracle happen. Well, is it good enough just to receive that power? Well, you've got the power now. You can use it whenever, however. No. He knew each situation, when to do a miracle and what to do, and he would ask the Father to do what he gave him the power to do. He still was going to ask so that he would receive, so that it would be done. We read about this in Matthew chapter 17, And when he came down from, this is Matthew 17, starting in verse 14, when he healed lepers, it says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down. I'm sorry, I'm reading from Luke 17 there. I meant to read from Matthew 17 after the transfiguration when Jesus identified the problem when his apostles were not able to cast out a devil. Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus prayed. Obviously his apostles had not. But that shows the pattern that Jesus would always pray to his Father before he would attempt to perform a miracle. Even though it was the Father's will for him to do those miracles and gave him the power by the Holy Spirit to do them. Jesus had prayed and asked for him to give him that power when he was baptized. He then prayed every time he used that power. He asked the Father to do those miracles through him. Otherwise, they couldn't be done. In Matthew chapter 21, in verses 18 through 22, it says, now in the morning he returned into the city. As he returned to the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, did Jesus just have something personal against that fig tree? No, of course not. That was a miracle that he did right in front of his disciples to teach them something. They noticed it and they asked him about it. And the point that he was teaching was that what was able to be done by praying. Well, then what did Jesus obviously do? What did he do before he did that miracle? I mean, what he was always doing was praying to his Father. And he did that before he did any of his miracles. We can also read about that in John 11. But when he raised Lazarus from the dead, which at that time he did it, he prayed aloud before all the people and they heard it. And he said he prayed aloud so that they would know that the Father was the one doing that through him. But that's what Jesus did. That was his pattern to do. And he's taught us to follow that same example in praying. And we need to do that and follow Jesus' great example in prayer. And we can learn much more about that. And we'll try to do that. We have another part to this that we'll try to study some more of, Lord willing, our next time, because there are a lot of other points that are worthy of our consideration and study from God's Word, to see the example of Christ in prayer and to learn more about that, to follow that example in our own lives. This morning is an opportunity for anybody that is here that needs to become a child of God to do so, and we're encouraging anyone that is present this morning that needs to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins to come forward and make that known so that we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ so that you can have hope of eternal life. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you need to repent and return to Him, if you have strayed from Him, or if you need the prayers and encouragement of your brethren here, This is an opportunity for you also to come forward, and we want to encourage anyone that has that need to do so right now while we stand together and sing.